Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to the Power Half Hour on Radio Islam International. Be with you for the next 25 minutes or so, inshallah. The verbal fitness sessions follow shortly. After that wonderful workout with Ronald, we are joined by Faiza Munshi. And today we're discussing developing our children's self-worth. You know, it's very important to build the confidence in your kids. And stay tuned to that with Faiza. We'll be giving us some pointers on how to do so in the best possible way. It's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother? You well?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, so far so good.
Brilliant stuff. Now, what do you have in store for us today in terms of a workout?
Man, today's workout is just a general reality of exercise. You know, we're going to help you realize that your body is your gym. So no matter what, you can do any and every exercise possible. So we're going to throw in a bit of everything today, from kickboxing to cardio to strength, and just really have a quick, fun, explosive, high-calorie burn workout.
Okay, brilliant. I'm all set and ready to go.
All right, so from wherever you are, I want you to stand up, okay? Stand up, keep your hands up as though you were a boxer, feet shoulder width apart, and I just want you to start punching in front of you, alternating your left hand and your right hand. And you're punching fairly close, so you're not straightening your elbows out if you punch. They're going out halfway, so your elbows are still slightly bent. Keep on going, fast punches for 30 seconds. See, 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 people.
Yeah.
This is what this is about, as fast as you can.
Okay.
All right? You know, brother, if you were in those old Chinese karate movies out here, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
What the?
You know, those sound effects they make.
Yeah.
All right? Now from that position, all right, after this, after the next 10 seconds, what I want you all to do is keep your feet apart.
Yeah.
And close them. So your knees are straight. You're opening and closing your feet as fast as you can. All right? Hands on your hips. Go, go, go. This is called a half-star jump. Now, what you're doing with a half-star jump, you're literally forcing the body to engage the lower muscles and then really, really concentrate and contract them to open up the legs and close them at the same time. So it tones your inside thigh, outside thigh, as well as give you an overall cardio burn.
Okay.
All right, go for it. Keep it going. 30 seconds. About with half-star jump. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now the next one I want you to do is a forward lunge, right?
Okay.
So you're going to stand shoulder width apart, right leg forward, bend both knees, take that leg back. Left leg forward, bend both knees, take that leg back. Right leg forward, bend both knees at 90 degrees and take that back. You begin to isolate the muscles with this exercise. So you're not focusing on doing a two-legged squat, you're focusing on one leg at a time. And as this happens, what you're doing is you're concentrating to develop all the muscles in the right leg and all the muscles in the left leg. Keep on going. 15 repetitions on each side. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next one, standing up, hands on your side. I want you to raise arms to the side of you so that your arms are parallel to the ground. Your elbows are straight. And I want you to literally move your arms in a tight fist. Hold a tight fist.
Yeah.
Up and down, 10 centimeters up, 10 centimeters down, as though you're trying to take off like an aeroplane.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're flapping your wings. You do that as fast as you can, keeping your fist tight for 30 seconds. Go, go, go. Now, it's such a simple exercise, and concentrate on the entire shoulder area. Okay, keep it going.
Funny,
5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And the next one, you're going straight onto your tummy, and you're going to be doing a push-up wide grip and then close your hands, push-up close grip. So you're focusing on working the chest, the shoulders, and again the triceps. So wide push-up, and as you straighten the elbows, your hands come together. You do another push-up, closed hands, then you open the hands up wide and do a push-up, close the hands, push-up. That's exactly what you're doing with this exercise. So you're focusing on a multi-function exercise for the entire upper body. Then up you come, and then as usual, the one exercise I love, you're going to be sprinting on the spot for the next 30 seconds. If you can't sprint, you can always march on the spot. All right, fast as you can, pump it up and go. That's it, high knees, pump the arms, keep it going. All right, 30 seconds. It will feel like a very long 30 seconds, but trust me, you can do it. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, take a breather and repeat that entire sequence 2 more times, and then you've had a brilliant fat-burning, muscle-toning, overall biryani workout.
Sure, that was a nice one. Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. I've got a quick question, you know. Now towards the latter part of the season, we're noticing that more players are experiencing hamstring issues. Why is this the case?
Well, I can tell you right now that they would have experienced it either which way. The problem is with them is that they don't stretch. And you and I both know, when it comes to football, especially on the semi-professional league that you play in or the social leagues, the stretching is the last thing that people do. And if they do do it, they're exercising their mouths while they're trying to move their hips and swing their legs up and down. You need to remember, as you age, your body loses muscle integrity, but also becomes a lot stiffer. So you lose suppleness and flexibility. So when the guys are playing, they are trying to push themselves in the game itself, but they're putting their bodies at additional risk because by pushing their bodies, they're overextending on the hamstrings when they're kicking, running, sprinting, or whatever else it may be, and that leads the body to become a little bit more sensitive and fragile, especially from a flexibility perspective. And you find these hamstrings start pulling, and the worst case scenario, it could tear because they really don't focus on the flexibility during and after the game itself, because that's really when you build up your supplements when the body's really warm, and in training even more so.
All right, yeah, because we do stretch extensively before the game, after the game. And the funny thing is the hamstring issue tends to attack the younger members of our team. That's the weird thing. So how do we, those that haven't yet been affected by this, how do we, stop this from actually, manifesting?
From happening, yeah. Well, I mean, the secret to this is how you're now stretching. There's different types of stretching. There's a static, there's a dynamic, and there's something called PNF, proprioneural stretching. Now, there's different ways to do it, and my advice to these younger guys is that, because often if it's happening, like you described to me, you look at it, there's an imbalance in the strength of muscle. So you'll find that the guys might stretch their hamstrings, but they don't exercise their hamstrings from a strength perspective, by doing deadlifts, hamstring curls, etc.
Right.
They work a lot on the quadriceps, so it's squats, lunges, like we do normally.
Yes.
That means there's an imbalance in strength from the front of the muscle to the back of the muscle. So not only is it about the proper stability training for them, which means don't bounce, don't do dynamic, do static, and do PNF stretching, and which is like when someone holds you and challenges you beyond your threshold. But not just anyone, you've got to get a professional to help you. And then to do a lot of strength training for that area as well. And then finally, brother, if you find that they're just pulling their hamstring muscles, what could be the problem as well is that they are very immobile in the hip area. So you find there's already a hip tilt because they might have weaker lower backs, poor core muscles. Mm-hmm. This causes a hip tilt, which either causes an overextension or overcontraction of the hamstrings, which means it's naturally just tighter. And this is something that needs to be looked at. So the one thing that I could advise you, and maybe we do this, that one day, when you guys are training, I would really like to come through and have a look and see what you do and then bring in some interventions and different stretches and ways to do it just to support these guys as they go through because you don't have young guys with old, crocky muscles. I mean, that they must wait till they get to old age.
Yeah. I use it's a trick, for the older generation will swear by this. But, the winter greens and stuff, is that just a shortcut in terms of keeping your hamstrings and stuff warm? Does this in any way facilitate or stop?
When it comes to that, it's really a matter of finding the balance and understanding and listening to your body, brother. I think that goes with everybody. I mean, you know that you have that cocky knee.
Yeah.
You know when that knee's going to really give you problems.
Yeah.
So you don't push beyond that point. You really have to listen. This is what many people are out of tune with, is listening to their bodies.
Mm. Any final advice for people listening out there who might also be, suffering with hamstring issues from time to time, whether old or young?
Yeah, definitely so. I think the biggest thing with it is bringing mobility training into your routines as well. Mobility is what we do when we swing the legs backwards and forwards like a pendulum motion side to side. And we really bring in that area to loosen up on the hip area because although you might have a hamstring problem, the problem could be further up into the hip, the lower back, and, of course, the tendons and the ligaments around that. So you need to really find the balance with your workouts, identify and listen to your body. And if you know that one hamstring is stiffer than the next, or you generally have stiff hamstrings, you really have to warm up properly before the workout, and you really, really, really need to make sure that you're conscious thereof and take the preventative measures. But if not, what do you then do to rehab it? Don't come back when the injury is not 100% recovered, because that will be a problem.
Okay, perfect. Jazakallah khair for that advice and for the workout today, Ronald. We'll pick it up, inshallah, next week, Monday, once again. Have a wonderful weekend, inshallah.
And to you too, my brother, I wish you all the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there giving us some advice in terms of hamstrings and of course a wonderful workout just before that. In a few seconds time, we're joined by Faiza Mushi. We're talking about developing our children's self-worth. We've asked people to send through their thoughts they have on other social media, but you can do so as well. You can SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548. Or Twitter at EJAZ_K. You're listening to The Power Half Hour.
And when life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I will follow till I die.
Yes, indeed. Now we're joined by Faiza Mushi, who is one of those rare people who is constantly seeking a better way to live life fully and joyfully. She's a veteran in broadcast media with an eye for natural beauty and a keen interest in uplifting women and children in her community. She spends her free time in shock that free time exists, don't we all? It's time to welcome Faiza to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Faiza.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Good, very good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, we're continuing from last week and, you know, developing our children's self-worth. Why are we still talking about this, Faiza?
Yeah, you know, we spoke about developing self-worth in adults. And I think we had, we were quite surprised, you know, in this short sort of program, we had some interest in that kind of topic because I think it really hits home to many of us in terms of developing our self-worth, having a good sense of self and all of that. And I just thought, I mean, what's the point of developing a good sense of self in ourselves, but not covering the topic in terms of our children. Now, because if we look at our lives and as we go through life, we need to understand that when you have a high sense of self and a high sense of self-confidence, a person who feels that, they feel loved and they feel competent.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're feeling loved and competent, of course you're going to be more productive in your life. You're going to be more constructive. So when your children feel this sense of a good sense of self, they feel confident in all of that, they feel that they can be more productive adults, they do become more productive adults, and they develop very good traits, you know, and that they can take on successfully throughout their lives in terms of they also develop good character. So if a child is very confident, I mean, confidence and arrogance are two very different things, and that's something that we need to understand. And you can clearly see the difference between a child who is confident and a child or a person who is confident and one that is arrogant. So there's a very fine line between the two, but I mean, there's very good ways of developing confidence in children as opposed to developing arrogance. And you know, these traits that they talk about, narcissistic traits, and you know, you're the most important person. But in terms of being confident and having a good sense of self, you can notice people who have that in adults. They go through life, they're confident, they're productive. They're not afraid, you know, of taking chances. And that, it starts from a young age. I mean, that development starts from a very young age. Because, I mean, if you think about life, Ijaz, and if you think of your little kids and you think, okay, life is not, it's not always simple, it's not always easy. It comes with its responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to send our kids out into the big bad world, as we may sometimes call it, with a low sense of themselves, you know.
Mm.
If they go there with their head bowed down and not being able to take on the world, we really got trouble because we really need to send them out there sort of with everything positive that we can actually give to them.
Indeed. Faiza,
you know,
there's lots and lots of people, alhamdulillah, have answered our call for in terms of their words of wisdom or how they help their kids in terms of confidence and self-worth. I see Hasina Majid saying, I build confidence in my kids by spending quality time with them, giving them my undivided attention. Most importantly, we verbalize all our feelings, positive and negative, and exchange many thank yous, I love you, and well done phrases throughout the day, simply because I feel confidence stems from being loved, appreciated, and acknowledged. Wonderful one there.
Lovely, lovely input. It's always good, and I think, you know, it's wonderful to get our listeners to start engaging with us on this program. As much as we said last week, it's a short program, and that's why we put out the message, and we'll do that every week. Mm-hmm. Put it out a bit earlier so that you can engage with us and let us know, you know, what is it that you do? Because every single human being has got ideas and things that they do that may help the next person. I may have a few ideas, but I mean, my friends may have a few more ideas, and it's lovely to just be able to share that on this platform. And so, you know, because it's really always we say this every week, we deal with everyday stuff. We deal with the stuff that we all sort of struggle with or we all have questions about. And that's why we're talking about our children's self-worth. It's because we have big issues in terms of schooling, and we look at our kids and a big issue of bullying in schools. This comes down to a very strong issue of sense of self-worth and being able to not be able to stand up for themselves. You know, that kind of thing. So we want our kids to go out into the world and be the best that they can be able to stand up for themselves in situations where they need to, and be able to just, you know, fly in situations where they feel that they can actually do really well. So, I mean, in terms of asking the question about sort of, you know, how do we actually do this? What are some of the things that we can do? We'd love people to call in, like you said, and engage with us.
Let me give that number out now. Yeah, 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. If you want to call us in with some wise words of wisdom in terms of getting your children's self-worth up. I see another one here from Sister Mumtaz. She says, how I build my kids' confidence is that if they are afraid to do it, I tell them we all have to try, and if we don't like it after you've done something, then you never have to do it again. With this, they have pushed new boundaries. Also, when they talk, they have to stand in front of us almost as if it is a speech, so they can see we hear them and vice versa.
That's wonderful. You see, the thing is that if we don't try, we'll never know.
Yes.
But I think we come from different avenues, different homes, different parenting styles. And each of us is now, as parents, going to develop our own parenting styles and understand what works for us and what didn't, what works and what doesn't in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that we can actually do, and it's important, is the first thing we can do is give children choices. But obviously reasonable choices. You know, just so that they understand that, okay, you have a choice between this jersey and that one, this hat and that one. And I'm talking about small little children.
Yeah.
So they can make a decision. And funny enough, that does something in their brain because they have to make a choice. They can't wear both of it. They can't wear both beanies on the same day, both hats. So you know what I'm saying? So it gives them an understanding of how to make a choice. And this starts small. But as they get older, they're going to have to make choices. As they go through school, they're going to have to make choices of friends. So which is the choice that they're going to make? Will they, you know, what's the choices they'll make as they go through that? They get to high school. They've got to make choices in terms of what subjects they'll study. But if they've never had a chance, if we've always decided for them, this is what you're going to do and this is what I say, and sometimes people find that, you know, that's their parenting style and that's the way to go. But those kids then struggle later on to be able to make a choice. They're always looking for it. I can't decide. I've got to ask my mom or dad first. But this is something that they've got to decide to do. In terms of, in any situation, in school or in dress or wherever they are, they feel that they cannot make the choice without turning first and getting, you know. And the truth be told, I mean, Ijaz, we need to bring our children up to be independent. I mean, life is, if you look at life and how it's short and it's unpredictable. You sort of, you're here today, not here tomorrow. So we've got to be able to understand that we may not always be there for them to turn and look and say, you know what, am I supposed to do? So build them up so that they have that confidence to go ahead. And one of the big things that we can actually learn from in terms of building their confidence is that we shouldn't be doing everything for them. You know, your preschooler wants to get ready for school, but we're always rushing. So we're always running and busy and rushing, and we're always tired. So what we feel is, well, let's just dress them and get out of the house. You know, so this works for us. So that's the big thing, is that don't do everything for them. Let the preschooler get dressed by themselves, even though it's going to take time and you are grinding your teeth because you wish this would go faster.
Yeah.
But they're learning a skill. They're learning a new skill of how to put on their tops, how to put on their pants, how to put on socks and shoes. And they get to grade one and they're doing sports and they can actually change from their school shoes to their techies by themselves.
Nice.
You know? So you've given them that skill. And if they're sitting on the sports ground and they're like, I don't know how to change my shoes to the next shoe, that's going to take away their confidence. So small little things like that. Like, let them do things. And I'm sure it has, I'm not sure how many people feel about the next one, but allow them or let them do chores. You know, age-appropriate stuff, things that work for them.
Nice. You know what?
Sorry
there, Faisal. I'm just saying I was hoping we get some fathers that also responded, because usually our listeners, the sisters tend to reply to these type of topics.
But I guess it's that time of the day where most of the dads are at work, and, you know, I think as moms we're always either in the car or between rounds or at lunch table. So I would expect that a lot of the moms would reply. But I mean, if we get some responses from
dads, we've got two. We've got two. Let me read it for you quickly.
Okay.
The first one is from Brother Nadim. Says, every child deserves the attention from their parents, and each parent has their own role to play respectively. Ultimately, love and care and active participation and involvement is the key to building a child's confidence.
And that's come through twice already in terms of being able to love your children.
Mm-hmm.
Love for them, love them, care for them, and just make them understand that you love them unconditionally. It's not based on how well they will do. But when they do well, you praise that and you acknowledge that and you say to them, you know what, you've done amazing, you've done a good job.
Yep. Another one from Brother Zunaidi says, share with them responsibility and self-belief that they can do it and commend and reward them when they achieve it.
Very good. And that comes back to my point I was just making now in terms of age-appropriate chores.
Yeah.
We often feel that, oh, no, they are so busy. Our kids are so busy, Shane, you know. They're going from this event to that, and they're very important. Really, our kids, I think in this generation of being entitled, our kids think that they really are the center of the world. But unfortunately, we're not building them up to become competent and become able to be able to do things. So, and I watched a TED talk the other day talking about a dean from Stanford talking about how important it is that we actually give our kids chores. And the reason she says for that is because when you have somebody in a corporate setting and there's sort of that initial, you know, you call it the dirty work to be done, the work you need to roll your sleeves up and get the work done.
Yep.
If you haven't done chores as a young child, that's not something that's going to appeal to you. You may sit back and wait until, you know, all the little nitty-gritties are out of the way and you want to jump into the queue when all the work comes up that's going to give you the name and fame, and then you might be too late. So developing this idea of, you know what, you can do chores, it's not beneath anybody to do chores.
Of course.
And the children need to understand it, because we really are living in a time where our kids truly believe they're entitled to everything. They're entitled to a new toy every day. It's actually quite tiring for parents. I don't know if people would just agree with me, but it's exhausting because they actually believe that they deserve it. But let them, they need to know that, okay, you deserve it now because you've achieved this, or you've done this, or you know, these are the chores we set out for you, and you've done it, and you've done an amazing job, and go ahead. Here's your prize, and like our caller said, reward them for that. That's good. But we tend to reward, sometimes we reward too much. You know, the excessive praise of, oh, you're doing so, that picture's so beautiful, you're like the best artist in the world. Kids know that's not the truth.
Yeah.
So let's,
don't
when we give them
yeah.
praise as well, the praise needs to be appropriate, you know.
Yes.
Praise the fact that they've done you've done such a beautiful drawing, and that is such a beautiful sunrise or whatever that is. And they understand that is, they've done a good job, they feel good about it, but it's not over the top. Sometimes when we go over the top, they know we actually don't mean it. We're not even, you know, we're not really talking about that which is real.
Yeah.
So we need to be real with our children. They see right through us. And we need to make sure that the praise also is appropriate to what they've done, and say, and so if we praise like specific details also sometimes,
yeah.
So they understand that we really did see what they did, you know, they really did do a good job in something specific.
Right, now I'm seeing here Sister Sumaya saying, she's got four kids, so she says, building self-worth for four kids with different personalities is a constant shift and change. As a rule, as parents, we try to give our worldview that tells them no one is perfect. We try not to insincerely praise them and are trying to teach them that criticism is not a bad thing. Kind of show them that being a human is about constant evolution of yourself and bettering and correcting. Teaching them that niyyah is important, and despite human fallibility, striving for the sunnah is a benchmark. We try and give our children reasonable options and choices, encourage them to be independent, and then in brackets, we don't do everything for them, rather try and build a sense of accomplishment by giving chores and establishing goals. Ah, you see, on the same wavelength.
Can Sumaya come live with me?
She continues to say.
Sumaya as well, please.
Right, she says.
That covers basically everything that we were going to talk about in today's program, is being able to, whatever she said is so true, is that you're just being able to do that. But if parents are there doing that, that's wonderful. Because, I mean, some of us are still trying to learn this process, you know.
Mm.
And in the process of learning, it's a good thing that we are trying to learn what's the best thing to do, as opposed to just falling back on what had been done previously. Some of it we can take and we can learn and we can really go with in terms of how did our parents do certain things, what they did, how they did it. And there's certain things because of really, it's a new generation, it's a new time, there's new concepts in terms of how, you know, the amount of things kids do. We then learn, especially from others like Sumaya. So Sumaya, well done, alhamdulillah.
Her last line is, most important standard for us is to talk, 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 communication and expression is important, and we actively encourage this. I also do this with my kids. You have to talk to them. You have to find out what's happening in their lives. You know, it's a different time from our times when we grew up. Not like our parents who said they walked 25 kilometers in the mountains with shorts and all of this to school. But yeah, we also had a different time, and now they're living in a more challenging time, I think.
Yes, exactly. They're different. And also, you know, I just want to consolidate last week's program to this one, is that we always think that it's just whatever we do with our kids is important. What we do with ourselves is just as important. Kids are so perceptive. So if you're putting on this big smile, but you're thinking, I just hate this, I don't like doing this, I hate serving you lunch, I hate making your lunch, I hate, you know, or I don't like to listen to your stories over and over again, they see through this. So the thing is, we've got to be honest, and we've got to be truthful about it. Also, we've got to be honest about ourselves. If we're struggling with our own sense of self, deal with it. Try and get to a point where you really are feeling positive, and when you say the words, you mean it, and you're believing it for yourself as well, because really, kids are way too perceptive, so we can't fool them.
100%. Jazakallah khair, Faiza, for all the insights. It's been wonderful talking. As usual, we run out of time on the program, but we'll pick up again next week, inshallah, with another exciting topic.
And I'd just like to say, Jazakallah to all those for their input. It will be wonderful to hear from all of you.
Yes,
every week, because it's good to have that insight.
Yes.
I think you cover, you know, parents cover a lot of what we want to say in a different voice.
100%. Faiza,
okay.
All the best. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And this is from the Power Half Hour team for today. We'll pick it up next week, Monday, inshallah. Once again at 1:30. From Mohammed Salim and myself, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.